hi. I want to thank everybody. Boy, these are times, aren't they, that we're living in. And I just want you to know our mission for you that are new subscribers. It's getting harder and harder to get truth out there, as you know. And I think this is the most important thing we can do, is to get truth out there, prepare, expose the evil. This is our mission for this channel. Our mission is to share biblical truth while we still can, expose error, provide encouragement to stay on the narrow path. And I just want to read an email. I love your emails. I don't know why I'm having trouble. When I try to respond to emails, it just cuts back and I can't. It says not available. The person. So I don't know if they're messing with my emails. I don't know what's going on, but I read every single one I get. And this one's from Texas. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. There's private things in there, but these are pastors from Texas. I just love it when I hear people that have been listening to the program, she said, for years, even before the whatever you want to call it. If we call it out now, you get censored, so I have to be careful, but you know what I'm talking about. She said, what truly reeled me in was your exposés on the Word of Faith movement, along with the Prosperity Movement and the NAR. Where I'm from, there are a lot of these false teachings occurring, and this is happening mainstream. And that's why I think it's so important to go back to some of the teachings that I did. The NAR, Exposing the New Apostolic Reformation, the Word of Faith, why I left these movements, because I looked at some of my notes and I thought, I really shared a lot back in 2016, 17, 18, 19, and I don't think I could share some of those things now. I don't know how much longer some of those will be there. But I started seeing agendas and the narrative that's going on, and I was so alerted by the Lord to put out truth that we were offered vacations, free vacations to our favorite places, Marco Island. We love going there. We turned it all down because I just felt like I had to stay on my post, and I knew something was coming. I didn't know what exactly was coming, but I knew something was coming down, which it did the last 3 years, what we've faced. And we had an alert, all of us here. We just knew something was coming, and the agendas were coming, and this was just a test. I really believe that what we've been through is a test for what is coming as far as more injectables, let's put it that way. And we have to know where we stand. You have to know where your trust is, where you are with the Lord, and do everything you can to get out of debt, because as you know, these climate things that are happening now, the electricity bills, and they want to get rid of gas cars by 2030. And Minnesota, where we live, is one of the first ones that's going this way. And we ask ourselves, it was in the paper, I was reading it before I came here. I was like, oh, great. Yay, Minnesota, the first one to do all of this stuff. But this has been the agenda, and it will go. The new system is worldwide. It's not. It's certain states will get there first, and there's going to fight. There's going to be a lot of chaos. Remember, they always do problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem. We have a reaction. Then they bring the solution, the Hegelian dialectic, which is divide and conquer, create a chaos, and some more chaos has been forthcoming. It's been coming, and we aren't surprised, because once you see the plan and you see the enemy, you know what you're dealing with. People that I'm so disappointed in, Christians that don't want to learn and take the time now, because this stuff's at the doorstep. Yep. And they're going to be caught with their pants down, as you could say, because they don't know what's happening. And they're so caught up in the world. I've never seen so many Christians that have just turned worldly. Yep. They just... It's like you can't tell the difference between them and the Lord. I mean, between them and the world. And it's really sad, because churches aren't calling people to holiness and repentance and away from all this stuff, which I've talked about for years. So that's all to say, go back and listen to some of the older tapes, my old YouTubes actually, and catch up on those things. And even some of the notes I went through, I was like, boy, I'd like to teach that again. I wonder if I could get away with it. But I named a lot of things that was coming, and I don't take any of them back. So far, everything we know, we've been pretty much right on. And so just a reminder, go back to those. So anyway, back with her email. If a pastor is not under some apostle's covering, then he's headed the wrong way. This is what's going mainstream in her area in Texas. She said, all these false movements never sat well with me. And because of your Bible-driven teachings, I know why. It's been tough, and it is tough. Coming out of these movements is so tough. And losing some of the friends that I've had. I was friends with all these big-name preachers and stuff. And it's been tough because you see some of them, I don't know if they're deceived, I don't know if they're part of the program or what, but when you start seeing what's really happening and the new system being in place and the one world religion is religion. It's about removing the true Christ and bringing in a false gospel. That's tough because you've been a part of it. I've been a part of it for so many years thinking I was doing the right thing, but I never went along with all of it, but there were some parts of it that I got deceived by, and coming out of deception is work, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. And again, she said it's been tough, but thank the Lord our doctrine is biblical and sound. Thank you very much for being faithful and unafraid in exposing all the lies that are contaminating Christ Church. I have several family members who are also pastors and who follow these false apostles in the NAR movement. I'm praying that they will have their spiritual eyes opened and they leave these false teachers. And we are. We're praying. We were bound and deceived and God opened our eyes, and we're praying for them to have their eyes opened as well. I've seen firsthand the devastation that happens to many after following these false teachers. We all have. We've seen many people that said they were healed. They weren't. They wouldn't go get any kind of treatment, and they died, and they didn't have to die. And there's another Death by Faith, if you want to read. There's a new Death by Faith updated. I was going to share on that, but there's really too much going on right now. I have other things to share, but if you want to go look that up, it's there on the internet. And it shows how all these teachers preach about all this stuff, but it doesn't work for them. And how they were in the hospital, and they had heart conditions that they were covering up, and that's just wrong. It's just wrong to preach a gospel, and they're lying about it, yes. So don't ever think your message is not being heard. It was so good when I got this. I just want you to know, because I needed some encouragement. Sometimes you wonder, is there anybody out there? Are they really listening? And she said, believe me, If I listen to your message every week and re-listen to some from years ago, so continue speaking the truth. So that's encouraging, and thank you for that and all your emails. And if don't be offended if I don't respond. I don't know why I can't. I tried. There's a Kenya, a Sweden, and different countries, and I'd respond, and it just said no. It wouldn't allow me to send it. So I don't know what's going on. But just so you know, I read them all anyway, even if you don't get a response. If they come to me, I read them all. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9, and verse 24 through 27. Our Christian walk is likened unto a race. And we have to run our race. We have to run our race. We can't run somebody else's race. We can't compare ourselves with other people. We have to keep running what God's asked us to do. And running our race, it's not over till we cross the finish line. And there's a poem that's called The Race. And it was a young boy, he ran a race, falling many times. And to his dad, he sadly said, I didn't do too well. To me, son, you won. You rose each time you fell. He got up. And I want to encourage all of us to get up. Get up after a fall. A righteous man falls seven times and rises again. But the wicked fall into mischief, Proverbs 24:16. And the race isn't over until we cross the finish line. And sometimes you look back and you're just like, how could have I made those mistakes? How could have I done that? How could I have been deceived? How come I did, you know? To me, my biggest thing was I didn't have a mom and a dad to train me, and I didn't have any Christians really. And I'm kind of self-taught, and then I got around all the big preachers and kind of flowed with them. If you have Christian parents that are teaching you this stuff, the narrow path, be thankful. Yeah. Be thankful, because it's so far and few between that you have real godly mentors that are exposing the evil and what's going on in Christianity today. And what the enemy wants to do is really separate you from the Lord. He wants you to get into humanism. Yep. Humanism has just entrenched our Christian churches that it's all about you, what you say, you have what you are, and blah, blah, blah. And you don't need God then, really, because they're teaching you to be a little God, which is totally false. But the race isn't over until we cross the finish line. And this is true. In 1992, Derek Redman, he was going for the semifinals in the Olympics, and he was almost at the finish line, and he tore a hamstring. He could see the finish line. He felt the pain. He fell, but he got up. He got up, and he started hopping to the finish line, and his father ran from the stands, and he said, "You do not have to do this." And Derek said, "Yes, I do." Kind of makes me want to cry. Then the dad said, "Then we're going to finish it together." And he helped him all the way. He helped him and got him across the finish line. And the crowd stood up and they wept. I just want to encourage you. We have a heavenly Father that's running our race with us. And we have a great cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, that are what there's, they can't see everything we're doing, but it says there's a cloud of witnesses. And you have to know you're not alone. Even though sometimes you feel alone, you feel, I know that feeling. You just feel like, why did the Lord show me this stuff? And a lot of my other Christian friends don't see it. They don't want to see it. They're all caught up in the world and the things of the world, because you have a heart for truth. And be thankful that you have a heart for truth. And we're going to cross the finish line, right? Yes. He didn't say it was going to be easy. Right. And that's the problem, that we have a false gospel that teaches us that it's all about you being blessed and successful and your next anointed dream and your next heavenly visit. That's a big money maker. It's big business. All this fake stuff is really big business, and the people at the top are prospering. That's not true Christianity.
That's right.
But Hebrews 12, let's look there, 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we all, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I've preached on this for years. Wherefore, we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. There it is. Let us lay aside every weight. We've got to let go of the weights. We've got to let go of people that don't want to go forward, that don't want to listen, that just want to stick in the world. Be there, but don't be hanging around them. There's such an influence of evil that's going on right now. You got to stay on that narrow path and run your race, right? Let us lay aside every weight. That's unnecessary baggage. There's a lot of things we have to lay aside. I'm going to do that in part two here. But lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race. We're in a race that's before us. Looking unto your saints, your friends. No. Your big mega church around the corner. Looking unto Jesus, it says. The author, he started us. He's going to finish it, yep. Right? Yep. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And we have to pick up our cross. Yep. We have to follow him. We want to do his will, not our own will, but his will. Despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God for the joy that was set before him. He saw all of us accepting him and walking with him. There's a joy that we have to keep our eyes on, and that's a heaven, heaven to gain. And I was thinking today about how all the people that are evil, that are deceivers, they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. They don't believe in hell, but we do. We want to do the right thing, right? For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. So it's this gospel that we need to preach that keeps us from fainting. Because otherwise, if we look at what's going on in the world, you can faint. Because the prices are going up, the utilities are going up, they want to get rid of gasoline, you know, all the agendas that are going on. These are the things that I had such a burden on because I started studying these agendas, Agenda 2030, and nobody wanted to hear it. But here we are. And now in our papers, they're saying the very things that I've been warning about for years. Now they're telling us so many times a week you have to walk. You have to ride a bike. Well, some of these things aren't wrong, but the way they're going to do it is it's more of the new system that's going to be forced upon us. What it is all about control, taking away freedoms and liberty. So we have to run our race, and the key is we have to have self-control. There's a true story about a hot rod drag race. I have to say drag race because there's so many other things going on with that word, but it's a true story about a guy that was in a race and he got hit and he crashed to the side and he was so angry he lost it. He lost his self-control and he lost his mind. What he did is he ran out of on this drag track and somebody hit him and killed him. It's a true story. He died because he lost it. And how dangerous to get out of your car and to get mad and to go after people that, you know, he was mad at the guy that hit him, I guess. But he died. The key is he lost self-control. And I see a lot of people losing self-control. They're going through red lights. They're lawless. I'm the youngest of, there's five of us. And both of my sisters, one lives in Miami and one lives in Oregon. And I was talking to them. They're telling me what's going on in their cities. Unbelievable stuff of lawlessness. And they're even taking torches and they're going through things that are locked and they're stealing things. Stuff we have never even heard of before are happening in the world that we live in now. And we can't lose self-control. Regardless how upset we get, we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. We have to just say, you know what? Vengeance is the Lord's. It's not ours to go out and lose our self-control and get in trouble and do all these things, because there's a lot of things we're going to have to say no to. And one of the things you have to say no to is your flesh and your emotions. Our emotions have to be controlled by the Lord, because I'm dealing with someone right now that they're so emotional and their parents, it's hard when you lose your mom and dad. I mean, I've lost both mine and I can't imagine losing a sibling yet, but this is a life we live, you know, it's a cycle of life. And they have a hard time with their emotions of letting anything go. But we have to learn to let some things go, because otherwise it becomes baggage and you can't move forward. So you have to say no to your flesh, no to your emotions. No, I don't always get my way. No, I'm not going to react. No, I'm not going to respond. No, I'm not going to let them take all my life and energy and focus, because that's what the news does. It's one bad report after another. Yeah. The Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games, and the winner was not the one that came in first. It was the one that kept his torch lit. And that's it. We are not in a race of who's first and who's got the nicest this and who's that. We got to keep our torch lit. That means we got to keep our faith in the Lord. We got to have oil. When you lose your oil, you lose your walk with the Lord. Our oil is simply putting our trust in Him. Keep our eyes on Him. Not lose self-control and get all emotional and get angry and go fight and go and do all these riots. This is what the plan is, to get everybody into this new system. And I don't know if you heard about it yesterday, but they did start the FedNow thing yesterday, the digital currency. They're going to move it in slow, but this is some of the things we've been talking about. So keep your torch lit. Don't let anybody get you so mad that you lose your relationship with the Lord, you backslide, you go into having heart problems, because I'm talking about keeping your heart right. It's a full-time job just to keep a heart right. I don't want to get offended. I don't want to get mad. I want to still be there if someone repents. You know, you got to keep your heart right and get up and run. That's right. And the race that we're running is full of obstacles. an obstacle course is really a military course, but they had to have fences and hurdles, and they had a lot of ditches they had to go through. And this is what our race is like in the Lord. We got to run our race. And sometimes we hit a ditch. You know, we get over on a... we're hearing about people that are following these different false movements, these theories that are so flaky. And, you know, the white hats are going to come and take you. That's all I'll say. They're going to come and save you. You know, we studied this stuff out for years. And there's coming a big deception for Christians. There's coming a huge deception. And that's why Jesus told us, don't let any man deceive you. And they're going to get you all emotional and get you all upset. Keep your eyes on the Lord, right? Amen. And don't let these obstacles, these hurdles, and one of them is getting offended. And the best way to get offended is politically. Yep. Don't lose your friends over this. This is what they want. They want you to divide, divide and conquer. And it's going to be huge in 2024. I can't imagine what's coming, but we have to be like these horses. You know, horses in a race, they put on blinders. And the blinders are leather cups, or they're placed on the side of the eyes, and they're attached to the bridle so that the horse can't get distracted. It has to stay focused and go forward. And that's what we have to do. We have to stay focused. You know, you watch the news, you watch what's going. I just read some things that Minnesota's doing. I was just like, oh boy, it's going to be so expensive to live in these end times, because that's what they want. They want to bring in different things. I'm not getting into it, but we have to keep our eyes on the Lord. He's the author. He's the finisher. He knew that this was the time that we were born. We're here for a certain season and a time, and not to be afraid, because the devil wants us to be in fear. Live in fear. Fear of this, fear of that. Say, no, no fear. 365 fear nots in the Bible. Today's good. No fear. So it's an obstacle course. You got to keep your eyes focused even when things are flying. And the blinkers, they would limit their vision and they could only see ahead. They couldn't look back or be distracted. If you want to get discouraged, look back and see all the failures you did. All of us have failed. We've dropped the ball. We've missed a shot. We've done all these different things, if you like, in our race under basketball. We've all fumbled, but you got to get up again. You have to get up again. Someone needs you on the other side of your obedience. Serving God isn't a game. Sometimes we must play hurt. You got to play rejected. I remember preaching in pain so many times that someone died or someone betrayed a friend I thought was such a great friend, and it was betrayal was so deep. It just hurt me to the core. And I really wanted to quit then. And the Lord's like, no, you got to get up, preach hurt, preach in pain. And that's what we have to do. Sometimes we just have to keep going. We're misunderstood. Then we have loss. Seeing more and more people, some friends of ours, it's like so many people they've lost. Friends and family. And it's just like one funeral after another. It's just like, wow, so many losses just in the last year for this couple. But they keep serving the Lord. We got to keep on serving the Lord. Even if we're hurt, we play in pain. And betrayed. Jesus was betrayed. He showed us Judas because he let us know we're going to be betrayed too. Demas forsook Paul. How did he forsake him? Loving this present world. He didn't die. He fainted and he went back to the world. So many Christians are going back to the world. I came out of that. That is, there's nothing to go back to, right? Remember where you came from. There's nothing. The enemy just wants you back. He's luring you, trying to suck you back in. We're in a spiritual war. It's a war. And Ephesians says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And yeah, the enemy took a third of the angels, and this is a testing ground, and we got to pass these tests. And what's our test? Obey the Lord. Keep your heart right. Get up if you've fallen. John 6:6, it said, many of Jesus' disciples went back and they walked no more with him. So it is today. People get offended in churches. Wherever there's people, you're going to be offended, because people are selfish. We all are selfish. And until you crucify that flesh, you're going to offend somebody. And even then, if you're trying to walk right, you offend someone because someone doesn't like you, doesn't like what you wore, doesn't like what you said. So it is today. So we're not in a sprint. We're in a marathon. A sprint is a short race. Our race is a marathon. It's a long race. What's the key to making it through this race? Endurance. Pray for wisdom. Pray for guidance. Pray for godly friends. It's amazing how sometimes God will just send the right person at the right time to you. Endurance is the key to make it to the end. What is endurance? It's the ability to keep running our race, even though it's difficult. Like this guy I was telling you about. He fell. He hurt himself, but he got back up. He said, I'm finishing. Some of you may have gotten in trouble and done different things, but get back up and finish. Get back up. I blew it with my kids. I blew it with this or that. Get back up and keep running. It might be painful. He didn't say it would be easy. He said picking up your cross and following him, that's not going to a hotel or something. That's like picking up a cross, that's heavy. Doesn't mean it's fun. But we are to endure hardness as a good soldier. We're in a war, not a club. Some of these churches today, you'd think it was a club. Saint watching is dangerous. You watch other people, it's very discouraging. He didn't say keep your eyes on other people. He said keep your eyes on Jesus, right? So I'm not responsible for other people's sins, but I am responsible for mine. I can't help someone else, their heart, to keep their heart right. I have to keep my own heart right. God's going to hold us responsible for our own hearts, our own thoughts, our own words that come out of our mouth. It's between you and Jesus, so we have to keep our eyes on him. And in closing, 2 Corinthians 4, this is really a good scripture. 2 Corinthians 4, read the whole chapter. But he says, verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we've received mercy, we faint not. I fainted before in the natural. I fainted, my mom and I fainted at the state fair at the same time. That was back then when they had all those freaks, that you come and see the freaks and the midgets. They don't do that anymore, but it was a hot day and I fainted, and one of the freaks that I fainted with was there giving me smelling salts. I was like, I wanted to faint again. But spiritually, he doesn't want us to faint. He doesn't want us to give up hope. In this world, he said they're going to hate you. They're going to hate us. They're going to deliver us over. We haven't had that yet, but his disciples did. But he said, don't faint. And then he says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Quit lying. Be truthful. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. If you're in it for the money, you're in the wrong business.
That's right.
And you're serving the wrong God.
That's right.
You can only serve God or money. You can't serve them both. I'm just going to go through this. So in verse, it says, we faint not, we grow weak, we don't pass out, spin out, and lose hope. We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. We don't manipulate people to give. We don't manipulate, be dishonest, lie, or deceive. And if we do, we repent. We preach not ourselves. If a preacher is just talking about themselves, run. Because that's what a lot of these preachers do. They're into narcissistic behaviors, and all they talk about is their plane, their house, how much everything is about them, stories about themselves all the time. Occasionally is okay, but if that's all they do is they preach themselves, they are not preaching the gospel. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side. There's trouble. There's trouble. People don't want to hear. It's getting narrower and narrower. It's getting harder and harder because they're saying in some countries now that the Bible is intolerant, that it's hate speech and it's this and that. So eventually they want to get rid of it or add to it or make their own. We're troubled on every side, persecuted. They're saying that the Bible is not inclusive. Our outward man is perishing. Unfortunately, you're not going to live forever. And the world just wants you young. And now, I don't know what they're putting on these movie stars. They are not the real movie stars. These are robots or something or other, but they're acting like, oh, this person is, they never age. Well, your outward man is perishing unless you've got some brain chip or some body thing going on. It's perishing. And then the Bible says the things we see are temporary. I was just thinking about how they want to give you these visual things now to put you in false reality so that you can see all this stuff. They've been doing this forever, but they keep doing it in different ways. They want to alter you. They want to alter your behavior. Now it's passing. In August, I think, all this new marijuana weed stuff that's going to be happening, it's another whole bag of worms. But they want to alter you, alter your thinking. And even alcohol, it alters you. It changes your behavior, and it's bad for your brain cells. They don't tell you this, but they just alter your mood. And these things are depressing. You might get a buzz for a little bit, but then you got to do more to get another buzz and another buzz and another buzz. And this is what makes people addicted. And this is what the enemy wants. He doesn't want you to face yourself, face your faults, repent, get right with God, and just live life in reality. Everything's got to be fake. The things we see are temporary. This world is going to pass away. Jesus is coming back. Today, we don't fit in the so-called church culture. You got to be okay with that. You that follow us, you know, we've had to turn our back on a lot of things because God wasn't in it. And it was hard. It wasn't easy. But this new church culture with the hyped up entertainment shows, with false promises, success, prosperity, and heavenly visions, always having a prophet come in, giving you a word, I won't even get into it. It's big business. But what are we supposed to do? Walk out our days, endure whatever we have to endure, press on, and finish our race. Don't faint. Father, we thank you for helping us. We need your help. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for friends. We thank you for good teaching. And Lord, we just pray that we can get the truth out. And we thank you for those that are helping us get this truth out. Our window is short, but we're going to keep on keeping on as long as we can, because this is what you've asked us to do. Preach the gospel to every creature, and then the end shall come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.